Welcome to An Orderly Account with Pastor John Stoops as he continues a journey through Luke's orderly account of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Church of the King strives for biblical worship, which views the Lord's Day as the time when God meets his people to renew his covenant with them. Covenant renewal is characterized by God's calling us to worship, a time for the confession of our sins, the hearing of God's forgiveness based on the finished work of Christ on the cross, the new life in his resurrection, presenting our offerings, approaching the throne of grace in prayer, and his teaching us from the Word of God. Now, here's Pastor Stoops.
Well, those of you that know me pretty well will often or certainly remember that Simeon is one of the favorite characters for me from the Christmas accounts. And it's a little bit special this year because we have a Simeon with us as one of our new covenant children. So today I want to turn to the example of Simeon and continue our review of faithful saints. Faithful saints who we find in the Christmas story, who serve as powerful and practical examples for us today. Now, we have been using these familiar characters to see how biblical faith is lived out and to learn why they are important examples for us today. A faith that hears and submits to God's leading. A faith that takes action. And a faith that remains steadfast in God's truth. We saw this with Mary, a young girl who is given astonishing news by the angel Gabriel and willingly says, "Behold, the handmaiden of the Lord." Mary goes on to be the God-bearer, the mother of God, but remembers the truth of God's word when she sees her own son as her Savior. We saw this with the wise men, who saw and responded to the sign that God gave them in the east. They came and they worshiped the newborn king, bringing him gifts. Gifts that reminded us that God's word had taught from the beginning that Jesus would come as the suffering Savior. This morning we come to Simeon. As with Mary and the wise men, we know very little about Simeon's background. There's no word about his faithful parents or grandparents, not a word about the faithful instructors who taught him the scriptures in such a way that he understood God's plan of salvation. We are simply told that Simeon was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. Simeon was a spirit-filled man who understood what God was about to do. His faith and understanding is reflected in the prayer that he lifted up, a prayer that many in the church still sing today. Here at Church of the King, we sing Simeon's prayer as we are commissioned each week. And so it is important, I think, often to review what he is saying and how it applies to us today. And again, as with Mary and the wise men, we must not think of Simeon as some sort of extraordinary case which really has very little relevance for us. Thinking to ourselves, well, sure, if God told me that I was going to see something spectacular like the Lord's Christ, well, then I would be very faithful. Do we have promises that we fail to act upon today? Let me start with our young people. What does the Apostle Paul tell us about the fifth commandment? Does anybody remember? What is the fifth commandment? Maybe we should start there. Honor your father and mother. What does the Apostle Paul explain about that command? Does anybody remember? Maybe we need an older person to instruct the young people. That your days may be long. Paul says in the epistles that the fifth commandment is the first commandment with promise. A promise from God. You do this, I'll do that. That your days may be long upon the land which the Lord your God is giving you. Now, how is that different from what the Holy Spirit revealed to Simeon? God told Simeon, you're not going to die until you see my Christ. God tells our children that if you honor and obey your parents, you will have a long life and prosper in the land. They're both promises, aren't they? Do we believe God? Well, the way to answer that question is to look at your life and say, do I make obeying the fifth commandment a priority? Or maybe think about it this way. Would Simeon have seen the Lord's Christ if he had slept in that morning and not gone to the temple? You see, we can't be presumptuous. Oh, God's promised I'm going to see the Christ before I die. So I'll just do whatever I want and wait for God to take action. No, God expected Simeon to be faithful. God expects us to be faithful. So, let me turn to the adults. What is something the Spirit has plainly told us? What are promises that have been given to us? Well, we could consider quite a few things, but let's start with a simple question that we've sort of been wrestling with in the book of Acts. Is the kingdom of Jesus going to grow or shrink? We should know that the answer to that question is that it will grow. But if there are some who have doubts, let me leave you with the homework assignment this week. I'd like you to find me a single verse in the Scriptures that even remotely teaches something about the shrinkage of the kingdom of Jesus. See, we spend all of our time questioning what the verses that talk about the expanse mean. But if it's going to shrink, shouldn't the Bible say something about that? So, give folks that challenge. But, let's not be proud about the fact that we know the right answer. We know it's true. But how do we live? What vision do we transmit to the covenant children that have been given into our care? When they listen to some of our conversations about where America's going, do they pick up on our vision for the future and excitement about the kingdom of Jesus filling the earth? That doesn't mean we can't have honest discussions, but we need to think about what the ongoing discussions and impression that our young children pick up. This is why Simeon's example is so important. God tells him that he will see the Lord's Christ before he dies. And now he is in the temple on the appointed day and finds a baby boy that is just 6 weeks old. Now, could we blame Simeon for maybe doubting just a bit or hedging his proclamation as we might? Would anyone have blamed him for maybe changing it just a bit? You know, saying something like, when this child grows into a man, he might prove to be the Savior. That's kind of like what we'd be comfortable saying. After all, to say the things that Simeon did while holding this small child might have brought those raised eyebrows and people saying something like, you know, he is just getting a little too carried away here. Who is this Simeon anyway? Like the reaction that we might get today if we plainly stated that the kingdom of Jesus is going to fill the earth. And sadly, some of the highest eyebrows would come from those in the church. I think the world is more like the demons who knew the truth of who Jesus was and tremble. We must learn to be no less bold today than Simeon was in that day in the temple. In verse 29 of our text, we read this. Simeon says, Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace, according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared before the face of all people. God has been faithful to Simeon. He has fulfilled his promise. Simeon would not die without seeing the Lord's Christ. And what a glorious picture of our dependence on our sovereign God for our salvation. Not only is Simeon trusting God that He would accomplish all that is needed to be done for our salvation through this helpless little baby, but we also need to remember the surrounding circumstances of when and where Simeon was. King Herod had just tried to destroy this child, killing all of the young babies around Bethlehem just a few weeks earlier. And now his wicked son was taking the throne. And here was Simeon with Jesus in the temple, there at the center of Jerusalem. Just as the angel had already protected Jesus, Simeon had no fear that God would accomplish His plan of salvation through this little child. And what a great plan of salvation it was. In verse 32, he continues, "A light to bring revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people, Israel." The Old Testament made it clear that the nation of Israel was to minister God's great salvation to the 70 nations of the world. The Jews had become proud and forgotten all of this, hating the very people that they were to minister to. The gospel was going to bring in the Gentiles, and it would be the same gospel that God had revealed in the Old Testament, the glory of His people, Israel. God's great plan of salvation was to bring together Jew and Gentile, tearing down the wall of separation. This wall of hatred would be torn down, along with all of the other walls of separation that fallen man had erected. The separation between men and women, young and old, rich and poor, slave and free. These are examples that we will find throughout the New Testament and all of church history. And as we go forth each week with this prayer of Simeon on our lips, we must always remember how much easier it is for us to believe this prayer than it was for faithful Simeon. Simeon could see God's salvation because of his faithful teachers and his faith. But the epistles tell us it was as though a glass darkly. The prophets of old, even the angels, longed to see the fullness of God's salvation, and they were only given bits and pieces. So Simeon stands here holding this little six-week-old baby at a temple. The temple where the proud religious leaders had no use at this point for the Lord's Messiah. They would ultimately kill him just a few years hence. This temple that was in a city that was ruled by cruel Rome, which controlled all of the then known world. A world that was ravaged by the sins of man. If you had lived then, all you would have seen was massive slavery, cruelty toward women, infanticide practiced right out in the open with Roman fathers deciding if a newborn child that came to their family would live or die. You had massive ignorance with almost no education for most. You had no hospitals. You had little sanitation. They didn't even have dentists. That was a cruel world. It was a world plunged into darkness, as the prophets had foretold, where Satan held sway over the nations, deceiving them as only he could. This little baby. But think about a six-week-old baby comes as the light. The light that would bring forth the new heavens and the new creation, establishing His kingdom, a kingdom that would fill the earth. And here is faithful Simeon proclaiming all that God has promised in spite of the overwhelming evidence to the contrary. So how much easier should it be for us to believe the advance of God's kingdom today? Jesus is no longer that little baby held by Simeon among a few faithful Jews. Jesus is now reigning at the Father's right hand as King of Kings, and billions of saints have put their trust in Him over the last 2,000 years. Satan has been bound so that he can no longer deceive the nations. Nation after nation has come to Christ to a lesser or greater extent, walking now in His light. Today, the most powerful nation on this planet is not pagan Rome, but a country that was founded by Christians. Now the revealed Word of God is not confined to the Old Testament in a few scrolls that were kept safe in Israel. We have the completed canon of God with all of the New Testament, giving us the entire account of the life of Jesus, His work in ministry, and the epistles to explain all that it means. And that complete Word is now available in almost any language and can be communicated around the world almost instantaneously via the Internet. We can study and learn about 2,000 years of church history and see exactly what Jesus has done. We have with us today great universities that were started by Christians, along with hospitals and healthcare advances that daily fulfill the promises of Jesus to His disciples that they would do miracles like His and many more. I could go on and on, but I hope that you can see the vision and conviction with which we should sing this simple prayer of Simeon's today and each week as we depart to do the Lord's work. It is a prayer that we are to believe in simple faith, a prayer that we are to act upon with simple steps of service throughout the week. It is a prayer that we should always bring back to God, bring back to God's truth, and make sure that we stay the course. These are the simple lessons of faithfulness, the simple lessons that we should learn from Mary, the wise men, and now Simeon. However, Simeon also turns to Mary and reminds us of one more important lesson. Faithfulness to God does not come without a great cost. Certainly, with each of us as individuals, there is the great cost to our pride. It must be set aside. It has to be set aside if we are to truly believe the gospel and come to God who has sovereignly saved us. But it will also bring external costs as well. Simeon turns to Mary and says, "Behold, this child is destined for the fall and rising of many in Israel, and for a sign which will be spoken against, yes, a sword will pierce through your own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed." The coming of Jesus brings division. It brought life and joy to the wise men who responded in faith. It brought a troubled mind and ultimately death to King Herod, who hardened his heart. These divisions have continued throughout all of church history and continue with us today. And here, Simeon points out to Mary that her faithfulness will result in some very great pain in her life. As the Mother of God, she faithfully raises Jesus and watches Him bring His ministry to Israel. But in the end, this loving mother has to stand at the foot of the cross as those hated Romans drive spikes into the hands and feet of her son. and finally thrust a spear into his heart. The sword that Simeon said would pierce the soul of Mary. Great faithfulness brings great risk, and we must be willing to keep our eyes on Jesus and not these costs. But at the foot of that cross, she also receives very special care and comfort from her Son and Savior as He places her under John's care. The example of Mary should encourage us when we face these types of emotional trials, where family members scorn us or we see the toll of the attacks that come from the world against faithful saints. Attacks that can be very discouraging if we do not keep our eyes on Jesus. The wise men also paid a steep price for their faithfulness. They properly responded to the sign by making a journey that involved the loss of much time and great expense. They risked their reputations in coming to a great king like Herod and not returning as he had asked. That could have meant very grave physical danger to them as well. And finally, these wise men present gifts to Jesus that are very meaningful, but also very expensive. And it came at a great cost to them. These wise men should be our example when we are tempted to put our time and our money ahead of the priorities that God has for the advance of His kingdom. We need to remember that there would have been no gifts for Jesus if the wise men were not wealthy enough to bring them in the first place. And finally, what was the cost to Simeon? We're not told specifically, but he was certainly putting himself at great physical risk by proclaiming what he did in the temple that day. Think of what reaction the Apostle Paul got by just mentioning Gentiles. I think the lesson from Simeon is that we do not look at the outward risks when clearly called to proclaim God's Word. I think of the group of Christians last year who felt led to go to the Castro district in San Francisco and pray and witness to those who were caught up in the sin of homosexuality. If you've seen any of the video, you know that the violent reaction was so violent that they required a police escort in order to leave safely. They have not yet opened up the arenas and brought back the lions in this country, but it is becoming more and more difficult to present even a simple witness in the public square. Simeon stood up in the midst of great danger with the baby Jesus in his arms, and yet he did not fear to faithfully proclaim the coming victories that God would bring. Should we do less? After seeing the many victories that God has brought to His people so far in the advance of His kingdom, I hope and pray that in 2010 we will rightly remember and ponder these great examples. The example of Mary, the handmaiden of the Lord. The example of the wise men who followed God's sign bringing gifts. The example of Simeon who took up the baby Jesus. Examples that we should remember and ponder each and every time that we are commissioned and sent forth to serve this same child. The child who we learned in the book of Acts God has made both Lord and Christ. Let's pray.
Thank you for listening to Pastor John Stews of Church of the King. Join us next week at the same time as the journey through Luke's orderly account of the gospel of Jesus Christ continues. You're invited to join us for Sunday worship at 11 o'clock, where biblical worship is characterized by the active and vigorous participation of the entire congregation. Church of the King is a pro-life, pro-family church where all baptized children participate in worship, including the Lord's table, on a weekly basis. To learn more or to hear this message in its entirety, visit orderlyaccount.com or call 916-451-5660. Come in.